This is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood.
Here at home, everyone will have the privilege of making whatever self-denial is necessary, not only to supply our fighting men, but to keep the economic structure of our country fortified and secure during the war and after the war.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt delivering his fireside chat, A Call for Sacrifice, to the nation during the early days of the Second World War. Many have compared the attack on Pearl Harbor with the events of September 11th, but it is unclear if America today will respond with the same depth of solidarity and purpose that marked the World War II generation. The former dean of Harvard's Kennedy School, Robert Putnam, says we may have our work cut out for us. Thanks to television, suburban sprawl, and two career families, he says we live increasingly isolated lives. He points to plummeting membership in voluntary organizations, including the PTA, Boy Scouts, and even bowling leagues. If we want to understand the potential of how September 11th could affect our civic life, Robert Putnam says look to the World War II generation.
That group of people who were born in the 20s and 30s, all their lives joined more, voted more, worshipped together more, they gave more blood. They were it's an incredibly civic generation.
Why do you suppose the folks who went through World War II had this unique experience?
My guess is that the right answer to that is that the effects of World War II were not limited to images. After every tragedy, there's an image, an iconic image that reminds us of that. But images are not enough to create this enduring habit or set of habits of community involvement. What happened after Pearl Harbor was a set of practices, not images, but practices that people engaged in their daily lives.
For example?
Growing vegetables in your backyard, the so-called victory gardens. In 1944, 40% of all American fresh vegetables were grown in somebody's backyard. Or there was a rubber shortage, and Boy Scouts all across America stood at filling stations and asked people to contribute their floor mats to help solve the rubber shortage. Take another example, actually, a really interesting example, the practice of hitchhiking. Originally, it was sort of patriotic to stop and pick up servicemen who were on their way back to their base from a leave, and then it gradually spread to include war workers. And so it became actually the patriotic duty to stop along the highway and pick up somebody who needed a ride. People practiced community. They didn't just preach about community. They didn't just talk about it. They didn't just see images of it. They did it in their daily lives.
What kind of role is there for government here, do you think?
Oh, I think there's a quite important role for government, actually. I think we all know that in the short run, we were a little pleasantly surprised by the deep wells of solidarity that the crisis revealed. I think we all fear, and there's some reason for this fear, that those will turn out to run dry pretty quickly and we'll be back to our isolated, everybody out for themselves kind of feeling. But government can encourage us to be our better selves. Most of the examples of practical solidarity, practices of community that I described in the World War II episode, either were direct government programs or at least were encouraged by government officials and by pop culture.
In his first speech to Congress after September 11th, President George Bush asked us to go on and live our lives and hug our children. And you've been quoted as saying that you're disappointed in what the president had to say in that speech.
Well, I want to say, actually, that I thought in most respects that speech was actually a quite powerful speech, but the part that did disappoint me of a very basically strong speech was the fact that he didn't invite us to participate more in a shared sacrifice for the community. I do think that the idea that the role that each of us is supposed to play in this current crisis is simply to do more shopping, is to trivialize the kind of feelings that we all have, that we also want to take a role in helping America come to grips with this challenge. I think that the administration is actually still thinking about what needs to be done, and I thought that at the president's press conference a week or so ago, when he suggested that American school kids could have car washes to raise money to send to feed Afghan kids, I actually thought that was a good idea because of the lessons it would teach our kids. That's what is at stake here. Can we use this experience to teach a new generation of Americans the value of being involved with other people?
President Bush had said before September 11th that his administration was planning an initiative to increase civic involvement, help parents develop a spirit of citizenship in children.
Right.
But now he says that those goals have largely been met.
I've talked with some people in the administration. I'm not sure that they have yet reached closure on the question of how to link the immediate challenges of September 11th and terrorism and so on And the agenda that they had for the fall, which was the so-called, the label that they were using was communities of character. And you're absolutely right, they were talking about how to encourage us to become more involved with community and pay attention to character. And I think they've not yet reached closure on whether that was a different agenda that was then and this is now, or whether there is a connection between the aftermath of September 11th and the notion of reinforcing communities of character.
What major sacrifice, what substantive sacrifice do you think we should be making in response to the events of September 11th, one that would be so substantive that it would, in fact, change our level of civic engagement?
Well, I do think that sacrifice related to the consumption of energy, I'm thinking about, carpooling and sacrificing related to our use of the automobile, would be environmentally useful, would be, frankly, useful as part of the foreign policy backdrop that we're engaged in. I'm not talking just immediately about the war in Afghanistan. I'm talking about the longer-term foreign policy context in which our dependence upon foreign oil from the Middle East is a powerful part of the backdrop that we're in this predicament. That kind of sacrifice involving energy conservation, I think, would be functionally relevant to the crisis and also would be likely to evoke a favorable, powerful response on the part of American citizens.
It seems like a lot of people have been hungry since the events of September 11th to take some kind of action. Certainly the dollar amount of the donations that have poured forth is testimony to that.
Yeah.
As an observer of civic life, what's your take on how people have directed this urge to help?
I think actually there's a still untapped well of solidarity and good feeling in towns and cities and communities all across America. So this is not just a matter for Washington and the president. It's also a matter for leaders locally to figure out how we can use and direct and exploit and reinforce that sense of solidarity. One of the challenges is posed by this current crisis is the attitudes that we all have toward people of other religions and other ethnicities. And so in some communities across America, in Missouri and in Seattle, for example, what's evolved is what's sometimes called mosque watchers, that is Christians and Jews and Quakers and so on, who spend part of the day, just keeping track of the mosque, making sure that people are not driving by to shoot at it or escorting Muslim women who are wearing the veil to keep them from being harassed. Well, again, all I'm trying to say is these are things that we can do in our everyday lives, not just something we watch on a TV screen.
At the same time, of course, a number of people are afraid. Fear is a very strong emotion. You walk into the airport, there are people with M16s.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if people, in fact, aren't going to hunker down more in their homes and be less inclined.
Yeah, there's a risk of that, actually. There is a risk of that. But during World War II, to go back to that example that we talked about before, they were frightened too, just as we're frightened, but they channeled that fear into a productive way of connecting with their friends and neighbors. And I think we can too.
Someone listening to us might say, just because maybe I get behind the U.S. government in this war effort, how does that mean that I'll join some voluntary association or a bowling league?
Well, I'm not actually proposing that bowling leagues are the solution to all of America's civic problems. Look, all I can do is to point to the fact that the powerful, positive lesson of September 11th itself was this notion that financiers and firemen were in it together. And if whatever sacrifice we ask of Americans has that same feel, that is, that it's hitting all portions of American society, I think that could have a very powerful, positive, long-term effect on our civic life.
Robert Putnam is a professor of public policy at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and author of Bowling Alone, The Collapse and Revival of American Community. I want to thank you for taking this time with us today.
Pleasure. Great to be with you.